You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com Radio. Don't buy, don't comply. Ask why. UnitedWeStrike.com Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the UnitedWeStrike.com Radio Marathon. It is Saturday, March 14, 2015. My name is Matt Navarro. I host the New Old Odor Report. This part of our broadcast is our roundtable discussion with our hosts and other guests occasionally from UnitedWeStrike.com. And we sit together and talk about issues. Sometimes we'll pick a topic and discuss that, or sometimes we'll have an open forum discussion. And it's always interesting to listen to all these intelligent people and learn from them and share information in this virtual roundtable setting. And today we have with us Am Rosen, Dr. Rima Lebo, Sky Cubby, Vinnie Eastwood, and Suzanne Posel, who you just heard. So what I'd like to do tonight is have everybody go around the table and have everyone give about a minute introduction of who they are. And we'll open up the table to an open discussion tonight because I did not pick a topic. So we'll start with Am Rosen. Welcome this evening, Am.
Well, thank you, Matt. Greetings, everybody. Yes, well, as I say on the show, I'm a philosopher, an author. I've had an ongoing professional practice. This is my 39th year, integrating naturopathic medicine, homeopathy, oriental medicine, clinical nutrition, a lot of different forms of working into the body. And the most important thing I do is the unique counseling session I've developed, which you can find out about on my website under the process if you go to lifegame.com. And my job is to facilitate the evolutionary unfoldment of human potential. It's terribly inhibited. I know why. And it's a privilege for me to be able to share any insights, perspectives, understandings, and techniques that will help facilitate people at whatever level they're moving through.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening. Always interesting to hear what you have to say. Welcome back to someone who was missing last month, but she's able to join us this time. Dr. Rima Lebo, welcome back to the roundtable.
Thank you so much. The reason I was missing was rather interesting. I was in India, excuse me, for 5 weeks at an Ayurvedic treatment center looking for ways... Pardon me. Looking for ways to truly integrate the things that we do, like the ones that Am Rosen just mentioned, the ones that I do, frequency and intravenous nutrition and neurobiofeedback and bioacoustics and detoxification, with Ayurvedic medicine, with naturopathic medicine, homeopathic medicine, yoga. These are recognized, licensable professions in India, Ayush, and that stands for Ayurveda, Yoga, Unani, which is the Muslim equivalent of Ayurveda, somatic medicine, and homeopathic medicine. And they don't talk to one another. So the wisdom of one system is lost for the practitioners and patients of another. That sounds familiar. So we went there. I also delivered a paper at the first All India Congress on Medical Education, looking for a new paradigm. And I presented a paper on what happens when regulatory decisions are made on the basis of corporate well-being, and I used vaccines as my example. I created a firestorm because of the hundreds of doctors there from all those disciplines I mentioned. None of them knew, except for one, none of them knew that the vaccine program, the pentavalent polio vaccine, was creating 17 or more times more polio, and it's a particularly virulent strain that's introduced by the vaccine, like 53,300 and some polio victims directly from the vaccines in the 13 months before India was declared a polio-free country. I almost left that out of my paper because I figured they'd all know about it. None of them knew about it. We are not the only country living with a corporate lapdog press. So that was very interesting. I literally created a firestorm and will be going back to create a truly integrative Ayurvedic, naturopathic, yogic, homeopathic, and advanced medicine center, and to spread the vaccine word, which is don't, which we also have to spread in this country, because mandated vaccines are coming not only for children, but for adults, all adults, and the entire vaccine schedule is going to be shoved under your skin, and it's going to kill a lot of people. So I'd like to take a moment before I stop talking, which I'm about to do. I'd like to take a moment to give you the link where you can go and tell your state legislators, your federal legislators, and their corporate henchmen in government offices, decision makers, no to mandated vaccines. That's tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation. That's tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation. Informed consent is fundamentally the right to say no, and we are about to lose the control over our own bodies that we must have as free people. And thank you. I'm glad to be back.
We thank you for being here. I am not surprised that you would stir things up in the medical community in India. I mean, you have a way of doing that, and I'm glad you do. We need more people like you, warriors that will go out and stand for the truth. I entirely agree with you about standing up against the vaccine issue. You know, on my show today, I had to replay my show from last week, which I interviewed Dr. Jack Wolfson. He's an integrative cardiologist in Arizona. You go to my website, nwodor.com, nwodor.com. Right on the front page, you'll find a link to that interview. And he speaks out about vaccines on my show, and we go into things like how to stay healthy. But I would agree with you that we need to keep pushing back on this vaccine issue. It's very important. Otherwise, I mean, if you have no right to say what's going on in your body, then you are a slave at that point. And I think we were too far down the road.
Let me amplify that. If you have no right to say what doesn't go into your body, you're a slave.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, can I just say it sounded like Bronzerima was coughing back there, and I was like, did she come back from India with Ebola?
No, because she has nano silver. Speaking of nano silver,
that's actually the difference between naturopathic medicine and sociopathic medicine.
Sociopathic medicine has its own very special designation. It's MD. That's money doctor.
Well, murder doctor.
Yes. Yes.
Sounds like a good burger. A name for a good burger joint.
Hey, I wanted to go back around the table, get everybody caught up here. I was looking for nano silver on the internet and came across this gentleman, and somehow we hooked up, and he's now a part of the UnitedWeStrike.com family. His show today, oddly enough, or ironically enough, dealt with Ayurvedic healing as well. Sky Cubby, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much. Yeah, I was actually just at the Health West Expo, largest trade show of the year, 70,000 people down there in Anaheim. And I hung out with our friend Keith Muller, who was on the show. And always great to hear what you're up to, Dr. Rima. I know you've communicated with him a lot. And he was getting a text on at the moment that I saw him about people in South Africa saying, hey, you know, out of these 89 people that got tested for Ebola, they all survived taking the nano silver. So really amazing things happen, and I do believe millions of people are going to say it.
That also happened in Sierra Leone when we finally managed to get 200 bottles there despite WHO and other nefarious organizations' opposition. They used those 200 bottles, and they reported that it worked to relieve the Ebola I can't use the word cure in the United States without committing a crime concerning a nutrient, but to relieve the Ebola, let us say, in 500 people. And then WHO forbade the country from buying any more nanosilver.
It's incredible. It is going to save millions of people's lives. And, yeah, we just had a show today with Skanda, my friend who is the founder of Sambazan and Acai Company, and Prakash, his teacher. And they were at the – it was all about preparing khichdi, simple sattvic food, very, very simple, simple rice and mung bean lentils and spices, which I went down the clinical data on all the things that these Ayurvedic spices can do, from – inhibiting the need for enzymes and helping gut flora and not having the need for HCL and stuff like that in the gut. But yeah, it was just great because everyone should know how to make these simple healing foods that are so tasty and work for all the doshas. So, you know, all the different body types. So that was really exciting. We're going to put that up and just get that out because I was just out in Colorado skiing out from here in Hawaii. And usually I have issues with itchy skin and irritation and be going up in the mountains. So being there in Colorado and Lake Tahoe and eating this khichdi, I just the anti-inflammatory benefits and the health benefits made me just feel so in balance. But as far as me, I'm the author of The Raw Chocolate Diet, and that's all about cleansing every organ and eating chocolate in balance with the rest of the body to use it actually for cleansing in some ways, and how to eat it in the right relation to our different food combining and the health benefits. I mean, we got the highest amount of magnesium, chromium, and zinc of any food, which 80% of Americans are deficient in those. And so, I get that information out. It's really kind of the cacao spirit stands at the doorway to the rest of my medicinal foods product line, which it's got the intention of bringing, helping people embrace the ancient future of food. So going into these indigenous cultures that have been around for thousands of years and combining that with cutting edge health and wellness seems to really be helping people. So I've got healthy living tips and protocols and recipes over there at medicinal-foods.com. And just a lot of things that helped me heal my chronic asthma, lung infections, candida, and, you know, working for the plants rather than thinking that they work for us. It's just a lot of people down there at the Health Expo, you know, have it backwards. And we're really here to serve these plant medicines and help get them out to people along with the vibrational frequency medicines. And I've trained with some of the world's top athletes, U.S. ski team members, and I ski race for CU at Boulder. I created a self-structured major called Global Environmental Education, which has landed me in Hawaii with my permaculture farm and the interconnectedness of Earth's environmental systems here on the Big Island to let people understand their sense of connectedness and how you can actually experience all of the environmental systems and East meets West culture out here in Hawaii. I think a lot of this came from my pioneering parents. They had a summer camp called Earth Camp One, featured in Newsweek as the best summer camp at the time. They did organic gardening, backpacking, up Mount Shasta, and stressed the importance of living close to the earth. And so we're totally off the grid and have hundreds of tropical fruit trees. And I offer cacao ceremonies with my wife, which we're going to do one tonight. And we participate in the woofing program, helping other people to live closer to the earth. And it's awesome to be here with you guys.
Well, we like having you here and your addition to the marathon because who'd have thunk? Well, I guess our grandparents thought and their parents, you know, eating well and giving our bodies nutrition and using foods as medicines, they knew that. We're just having to relearn that
technology, as it were. So I'm glad you're here. Vinnie Eastwood, always a pleasure trying to make light of genocide. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's always my honor to be here when I actually remember and get reminded. Thank you so much for reminding me, by the way, Matt, because the people who have spoken so far tonight are like so up there on my respect hit list that it's unbelievable. And I mean that in a good way. I'm Vinnie Eastwood from thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. I've survived for the last 8 years almost entirely on listener donations and support because I have pretty much anybody on my show talk about any topic for as long as they want to talk about it until they either, if they're lying, have enough rope to hang themselves with, or if they're telling the truth, they have enough time to tell their story in the full completeness with somebody who is going to make light of the situation so they feel comfortable enough to keep continuing to tell their story as nobody's ever heard it before. There's no tenseness, there's no pressure, there's no preparation. It's simply two people sitting down having a conversation. And it's fun. And that's the main ingredient that I try to inject into the show because I believe it's the most important in a world so full of darkness, fear, craziness, psychopaths, and scumbaggery. We have to have fun. Otherwise, there's not really much point to living.
Well, they say humor is medicine as well. They say, or have done studies that humor does heal the body. So I guess we're back to the same mindset, using food as medicine and then using humor as medicine, all about healing the body. So welcome, this evening, Vinnie. Okay. All the way up there in Washington State in the United States, Suzanne Pulzo, got a brand new radio show, going on. Welcome.
Yes. Hardline Radio is back on the air on American Freedom Radio, which is, in my opinion, the only station that is run by a man with the highest morals and in ethics and integrity in this entire industry. And I mean that.
Come on now. Not so fast.
Danny Ramiro is an amazing human being. And I am honored and blessed to not only know him, but be a friend of his. And, 18 months was a long time to wait, but it was worth it. And I would not have my show on any other network. I absolutely adore Karen to death. She is amazing. She is so awesome. You just want to hug her. She's just awesome. You just want to be next to her all the time. And what she created with United We Strike and the fact that I'm honored to be here and that she asked me to join in is amazing. And everything that we do here is spectacular. But Danny Ramiro is amazing and American Freedom Radio is back on the air. And I'm honored to have my show Hardline Monday, Wednesday and Friday, 8 p.m. Central for 1 hour. It's a blockbuster hour filled with lots of information and, archives are up for mine and Vinny and everyone else's show on there. So please go take a look in the archives if you didn't get to listen to our shows live. Of course, I'm the chief editor of OccupyCorporatism.com, headline news with facts and evidence so we can actually change some of these things instead of just complaining about them. And that's about it. I would like to extend my portion, but I don't have anything else to say, so I'm going to defer back to Matt.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you got your show back, and I'm glad you're working with somebody with integrity. You know, we've had what I would call infiltrators here at UnitedWeStrike.com in the beginning, and they did create havoc, and it was difficult for us at times to continue this broadcast. But, you know, we have a little better control over that now. We have our own production facilities and stream going out to the internet. So it makes, life a little more easy on our production staff so that we can, bring you these programs. But, it's a pleasure to be with you all here tonight. My name is Matt Navarro. I host the New World Order Report that can be heard on Wolf Spirit Radio, the first Saturday of every month, and here on UnitedWeStrike.com, the second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Pacific time. I try to have two different guests. My guest this week couldn't make it, Ole Damagard, investigative journalist, or was an investigative journalist, author, looking into false flags and conspiracy theories. He's been having internet problems, no surprise there. So I replayed the show I did last week on Wolf Spirit Radio this month. You can go to my homepage, nwoder.com, and take a listen to that. Let's see. I don't have a topic chosen tonight. I know there was some chatter a little earlier before we came on the air about a topic that somebody wanted to pick. So let's open the floor up and see what comes out. Anyone?
I wanted to talk about weed, man, and pot, and marijuana, whatever the millions of names there are for it. And how good it is in so many different ways, and how terrible it is in so many ways that it's illegal and people are being punished for possessing it. And
well,
I don't know.
You know, I'm really eager to talk about that too, for a whole bunch of reasons. One of which is that the Natural Solutions Foundation, of which I am the medical director, has a project in Chile, where I'm sitting now, where it's not chilly, it's actually quite lovely, but that's only a problem if you don't consider the spelling. Anyway, that was a feeble attempt at a joke. Never mind that. We have a project in Chile where we have partnered with the guy who has the first and only industrial hemp license here in Chile, and the purpose of that is to produce the world's only certified organic low radiation CBD hemp oil and hemp product, so that we can bring it forward around the world and drop the price, which is not exactly what capitalists do, but it's what people who are doing things on principle do. CBD is where the medicinal quality is. I wrote a fairly well-researched paper recently, which I'll be happy to send to anybody who emails me, or goes, actually, best thing to do is go to my Twitter, @DrRimaLaibow, @DrRimaLaibow, and asks for it. It's a very, very well-referenced paper that shows that the myth that THC is where the healing is very dearly held, but it's not supported by science. In spite of, Phoenix Tears and all the rest
Somebody's
of it.
Somebody's typing back there. I think it must be Ham Rosen.
Yeah.
My friend.
we are Somebody. Very eager. We're looking for funding right now to build our greenhouses, get our seed in the ground, and produce this magnificent stuff. I agree with you. But I have a little secret for anybody who says, yeah, but that's illegal. No, it's not, because your body makes it itself. And the overriding legal framework, the United Nations Conventions on Psychoactive Drugs, names THC, but it specifically does not name CBD, because it would be like making your left thumb illegal. Your body makes it, and therefore it has to be legal, and it's legal all over the world. That's pretty exciting.
And also, one of the other elements that I've found about the medicinal use of cannabis is how many kind of, I don't know, the medical equivalent of loan sharking that's going on, where people are promising things that they can't deliver, watering down their products, that sort of thing. The Rick Simpson method, for example, has like worked in all the trials he's done, and a whole lot of other people have come up with all these other formulas that they say is the Rick Simpson method when it's not, and he's drawn heaps of flack from things that people that didn't follow his instructions properly, that kind of thing. And also Suzanne Posel has a very reputable CBD product that's been tested and is it's almost 100% pure, isn't it, Suzanne?
Oh, yeah. It's the crystalline version. It does not include the problem with the hemp paste, including all of the products out on the market except for mine, is that the hemp paste itself, when you get, let's say, a pound of hemp paste, it's 15% CBD, 85% fillers, wax, toxic solvents, live microbial life. And this is according to Tamar Wise, who is the former head scientist at Dixie Botanicals, who created their line of products and has since left in 2012 because she couldn't take it anymore.
And she decided to design Dixie cups instead.
And she's been quiet because she signed agreements and she can't speak. She has contracts. But the product, the Crystal Pure CBD that my husband and I put together, it is triple concentrated. It's triple extracted. It does not contain THC. It does not contain any plant material. It does not contain any paste. It is pure 99.999% cannabidiol. And I am constricted by the FDA as well. And there have been a lot of letters sent out to corporations like Cibidex and Aricitol, which is a corporation that I was working with a year ago, and we severed our ties with them a year ago because of unscrupulous business practices. And I don't like that or adhere to that or work with people like that. So when I was shocked when I saw these FDA letters sent out to Aricitol that these products don't even contain the amount of CBD that they're claiming, and they're lumping the hemp paste in with the CBD, and you can't do that when it comes to how much CBD content is in the material. So that's why we put out Crystal Pure CBD, because if you want the effects that you see at PubMed, these 1,300 studies that show positive effects on everything from a stomach ache to cancer, then you have to have the crystalline version, because they're only testing the crystalline version. They never test the hemp paste because it's filled with toxic fillers. So my husband and I thought, well, if they're doing that on the pharmaceutical level and GW Pharma is working on a synthetic version, why can't a plant version of this be available to the public so we can see the effects that they're seeing in these studies? And lo and behold, that's what we have. And lo and behold, our customers are reporting effects that are similar to what is being seen in these studies, and everything from their grandmother to their 8-year-old daughter to their dog.
Yeah, we definitely need there.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Sky.
We definitely need to have therapeutic levels of CBD medicines out there, because a lot of the junk that has gone before us is not therapeutic, kind of scammy. And it's great to see what's happening. Actually, a lot of this came from the work that my dad did with writing the legislation for Proposition 215 over, 15 years ago now. And one of you should interview him, because he actually passed a law and then was growing his medicine up in Lake Tahoe and got busted. And they came in there and said, you know, that may work for those fags down in San Francisco, but not up here in Placer County. And he spent 10 years fighting court battles as a reefer refugee in Canada, came back to the States, and then ended up fighting this battle because his case, cancer of the adrenal gland, his case set precedence for his medical case, because doctors all over the world, even the Mayo Clinic, said the cannabis was the only reason that he has survived this rare form of adrenal cancer. And since then, he's made a company called a company that's on publicly traded called CBDS. That's on the over the counter now, and so that's, I guess it's the fourth biggest producing marijuana stock company now. They have branded by High Company, and they're coming out with a lozenge called the Cubby. And there's a CBD version, and there's a very powerful sativa version for pain. And so someone was jumping in there, wanted to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say something. One of the things that we must all do is, until we win the case that we are readying against the FDA to allow us to take back the word cure, the word treat, the word mitigate, the word prevent, and the word diagnose with reference to any nutrient, we must avoid using the word medicine with anything that we want to keep on the market. The FDA, my friends, is listening through their friends at DHS and NSA and God knows where, and we cannot refer to these substances, these nutrient substances, as medicines. That will instantly precipitate the claim again, the reasserted claim from these despicable creatures that claim to be the regulators in our government, that this is an untested medicine, an unapproved medicine. As an unapproved medicine or drug, it becomes instantly illegal. It is very important to use the word nutrient, not medicine, to never use the word cure or treat. We are allowed, right? This is very important.
Until we get truth and labeling back.
Well, we don't say something. It's kind of like just word replacements. That's all it does. You do the same thing as the politicians do to disguise their BS, to disguise the truth. And basically what that means is it's kind of like when you can't remember somebody's name, you just go for the personal pronouns like bro, dude, or cuz, man.
Yeah.
Am, you wanted to jump in there?
Well, of course.
I'm not agreeing with what these goons are doing by any means. We're going to take them to court and wipe the floor with them. But what I'm saying is we do have to be careful at this point because they have a huge amount of power and we don't want them wielding it against us and the things that we treasure, like CBD, like our health freedom, right? Like nano silver.
I agree because we have to watch carefully because they can exercise dirty tricks against us like you've experienced, Dr. Rima. I mean,
oh, yeah.
you've seen get it firsthand. I know you've seen it. And so, you know, we got to watch for that. Amrose, and you wanted to jump in, though.
Yes, thank you. Well, I don't prescribe. I educate and suggest, which is fine. Now, in this topic, I'd love to offer some clarity between these two components, the CBDs and the THC. It's only in the past two decades that the research has shown that the body is, especially the brain and the nervous system, is laced with endocannabinoid receptors. They cue in a balancing process in the body through the nervous system. That's why if the neurons are overfiring, they tend to help regulate that so you cool down, you know, you stop being so hot. If there's inflammation in the nerves, the tissues are screaming, they cool down that transmission. So, yes, you still have a blocked, all pain is blocked flow of energy, but you're not on fire with it, which also increases the fear factor. You feel your vulnerability. In that sense, is helping to balance out the body. It's an invaluable nutrient. Now, the THC is it's a psychoactive herb. And what it does is it opens up right brain spatial relations. Normally we go along and we're cataloging everything, whether we realize it or not. We have a stimulus to response ratio. Something stimulates our awareness and we have various levels that we've learned or been conditioned by way in which we respond to it. This becomes our tunnel vision of reality. This is what life is, what we think, what we feel, how we emote about it. Now, suddenly, we're not paying attention. We get lost in our minds. Well, this happened then, and suppose this doesn't happen there. Suddenly, with the THC, it elevates the awareness into right brain, which is spatial relationship. You come back more into the moment. Now, your senses were always there, but if you're too busy being emotive and thinking and worrying and doing that, you don't pay attention. Suddenly, you're going, wow, this food tastes so good. Oh, that music. Music was playing before, but all of a sudden, you're able to let go of the self-image and all the things you carry with it and move into that space. Now, that's a break from tension. The other half of that is it's showing that there are levels of awareness that are available to us. And with the right technique, focus and concentration, understanding what you're doing, you can not only access them, but you can stabilize them and learn to bring them into the body consciously to work with the organ systems and to enhance their function. The more you do that, the more you ground it and stabilize it, the more it frees the consciousness. The more free and expansive the consciousness is, the more there is to bring back and ground. That's kind of an ongoing tantric relationship between the mind and body. Just wanted to throw that in when we're dealing with this stuff. What are we really dealing with?
Can I say that the whole essence of what we're really doing here is we're trying to convince people of the obvious? ultimately. Isn't that what it's really all about? Everybody knows cannabis is medicinal. Everybody knows it's not really dangerous.
And no, it's not obvious. It should be, Vinny. You're right. But it's not obvious to a lot of people. A lot of people have been indoctrinated with fear. You know, you break the grip of intellectual tension with laughter. It's comedy is the truth told with a sense of timing. And you have an exquisite sense of timing. But there's a lot of people, it's not obvious. They haven't learned. They haven't. If you haven't experienced it, I can tell you about being wet forever, show you movies, have the testimonials. But if you've never been in the water, you still don't know what it is to be wet.
Hence the need to convince them of what's obvious to us.
You know, we're winning the battle, though. I think the awareness is growing. So you look at Colorado, then Washington State, now Oregon, have all passed the recreational use of marijuana for adults. And I think, you know, it's taken a long time for society to catch up with reality. You know, I've always been an advocate for marijuana use. In fact, as a high school kid, I worked, one of my classes was the yearbook newspaper. So I wrote an article in this newspaper, our school newspaper, about marijuana, its use, and the possibility of it being, legalized. I sent out a poll to the entire student body and the teachers about asking about their opinions on marijuana use, and I published that in my article. And not surprisingly, it was very favorable. Everyone was very in favor of its use and its legalization. All these years later, here in Oregon, this past November, we finally passed Proposition 90 or Measure 91, which legalizes the use of marijuana for adults over 21. You can have like 8 ounces and 4 plants for a household. So I think we're winning, and I like the idea that people can use this as a medicine or as some kind of recreational need or choice that can perhaps, like Am was saying, elevate their awareness to what's really going on without having to deal with the fear of everyday life. You know, I think what Suzanne was saying about the study of the NHT study about stoned drivers are less likely to get in accidents. Imagine if more people were stoned on the highway, we probably wouldn't have road rage.
Yeah, you know, Am hit the nail on the head with what, you know, if people can track with this particular kind of medicine or nutrient or whatever you want to call it, the psychoactive aspect of it becomes an ally when you can track with it and be present in a meditative state and honor it for the sacrament that it is. When you start using it, I believe when you start using it, taking the spirit of the plant medicine and you start abusing it and just kind of using it recreationally, that's when you lose the ability to really experience, have powerful, transformational and inner shifts and experiences just from that standpoint. So I appreciate what Am had to say. And I also, know that you're right. It is getting legitimatized. And, my dad's company, publicly traded as CBDS has the, legitimacy behind it of a former U.S. senator and congressman. And it's really, really starting to get mainstream and a lot more cracked down, like Colorado. You know, the rules are so strict and they're constantly changing. It's really keeping these guys on their toes as far as the packaging goes. Now it all has to be childproof, and just to be a business and try to abide by these new rules is really difficult for them. But
has anybody else
as far as the legal aspect, I just do want to ask Suzanne to go ahead and share a little bit about, I believe you wrote an article about some of the new full marijuana legislation the bill that's being put forth. So I just wanted to ask you to clarify some of that.
Oh yeah, the Democrats and the Republicans have gotten together to legalize marijuana. So yay.
at the At the congressional level?
Well, they want to remove it from classification as a Schedule 2 or Schedule 1 drug. Can't remember which one. They want to reclassify it as a medicinal plant. They want to open it up to research so that companies can openly perform research on CBD, on THC, and the effects medicinally as well as recreational and long-term usage. They want to open it up to retailers. They have added a provision for banks that banks, that's the biggest problem when it comes to opening dispensaries here in the United States. You can't get a bank. As soon as they find out that you are in cannabidiol or that you're in a dispensary or a grow operation, they don't want to do any banking with you. Last year or earlier this year, Obama set out provisions with the DOJ and the Department of Treasury stating that banks are not going to be penalized for working with dispensaries or grow operations as long as they are legitimate within their state and the corporation is a real corporation doing business. And this bill would further expand that and take away any possibility of any prosecution, as well as some states like here in Washington where they want to create a breathalyzer. And they're working with a company out of Canada to create a breathalyzer for marijuana. The problem is that NHTSA study, which shows that there's no way to
tell if you're stoned is if you take a huge toke on a joint and blow it into the breathalyzer in front of the cop.
Well, the problem is active THC. When active THC is in your system, that's when you are experiencing the psychoactive. However, THC stays in your body and in your system for a long time when it's not active anymore.
30 days.
Right.
And has anybody else noticed, has anybody else noticed that we inadvertently threw together a marijuana expert panel?
I was wondering about that. I was commenting to myself, wow, I didn't know we had such great experts on this subject. It is a great topic for us.
Well, water seeks its own level. Can I add a few points that you may find interesting?
Well, I'd like Suzanne to finish up real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure, of course, Suzanne, please.
I'm sorry. Just this bill is being proposed in our Congress. It will legalize it on every level. It will decriminalize it on every level. And I hope that this passes because like everyone here on this panel, I'm assuming that you will agree with me and I'm assuming listeners will agree with me as well that this has not only ramifications for medicine, but also for, product. We don't have to worry about BPA or Triton anymore because it's not oil-based plastic that we're using. We don't have to worry about killing the rainforest anymore because we're growing hemp and those fields can be reused and repurposed it over and over and over again every year. And it's a weed. So it grows like a weed. So we don't have to worry about a lot of other things. And this is good on so many different levels. So I hope passes.
This legislation is like a gigantic joint and it needs to be passed.
It is the one bill to legalize it all.
You know, I hope it passes. I've not heard of this. So thanks for bringing that up there, Suzanne. You know, but you've got to wonder that the Rothschild Rockefeller stranglehold on the Congress is going to allow that to even occur. But Am, you wanted to jump in there.
No. We need to call it the Puff Puff Bill because then we could start up puffpuffpass.com, then like start a whole movement of talking.
Yeah. Well,
dragon of all legislation, the Puff Puff Bill.
Yeah, there you go.
And a whole protest. Puff Puff Pass! Puff Puff Pass!
And then we'll just pass our signs around to each other, you know?
A little ring around the rosy.
No, wrong. Wrong inference.
don't bogart the euphoria, please. But just wanted to add a few perspectives on all this. Earlier, before we went on the air, there was a little talk about how it inhibits memory, what most people call memory or intellectual-based associations. Something comes up, you associate it intellectually, lock it into emotional patterns you've already established. You're not really paying attention. So we're sitting around having a discussion. That's about five complex words. That doesn't begin to take what's going on within me, within all of you, what's exchanging between us. But from that combination of symbols or something like that, we might bother to associate what little we're bothering to perceive of everything that's available to us in this particular moment. We'd call that a memory. But when you activate the right brain, normally you're not using, because that's its left brain, sequential, compartmentalizing, symbolic intellect that's creating those associations. Suddenly you're in spatial relations and you're more attuned, you're more open and receptive. Now, Sky mentioned, and it's true, that you have to bring it to a higher level. In the process, which I'm so anxious to get people to understand what I've created here, because there are steps to self-actualization. Once you have freed up what you call the subconscious, it becomes malleable and adaptive, repatterned it, so you're no longer falling into counterproductive modes of response, but you're replacing it with things that work, then you have to move into a fourth level perception, which is beyond the intellect. It's direct immersion into experiential spatial relations and energy frequencies. That's the language of fourth level perception. People make up all kinds of stories about that. Now, once you have control of your nervous system, you're going to find that most of the intellectual based programs you have were anti-negative. You were afraid of this. You felt uptight about that. You formed things to keep it at bay and buffet it. But now the nervous system is malleable. So if you want to operate whole brain, but emphasize one particular aspect, you can retain the exquisite memory even when you're in an altered state without losing it. All these things are available, including working back into the body to redirect the utilization of nutrient factors and organ performance. Just wanted to offer that as some things that make cannabis in its various forms very beneficial if it's intelligently utilized.
You know, I think what you said was pretty interesting, Anne, but I've forgotten what you said already.
Well, that's why I go to the process on my website there. And I'd be happy to gum it out with you anytime, man.
It's funny that Matt said that, because I was about to say the same thing.
who was that unmasked man, huh?
It gets you in the zone, I think, is what he's saying. It gets you in the zone, and then you can do things with that energy if you're able to focus and, like I say, track with it.
Well, I think one of the can we shift it a little bit, because everybody's like happy and fuzzy, and like if it's too high, you know, I need to bring it down a little. So let's think about all the traumatic things that happen to people. I mean, I got arrested, right, and it was pretty freaking traumatic. Still with me today, and I was just thinking about this. I'm not the only one. In fact, it's in New Zealand. It happens on average every 30 seconds. Somebody is getting busted for possession or some kind of marijuana crime, and if the same thing that happened to me or similar happened to all of them, that means there's a hell of a lot of really badly traumatized young people going around all over the place, and some of them might not have been as fortunate as me to have guidance and wisdom from elders and people to take care of them, that kind of thing. And in that way, are we really sitting back and we're watching generations of people get subjugated by the system and kind of like damaged, most of them permanently?
Kind of like, you could say, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. We're damaging them through education. We're damaging them by changing their genome through GMO foods, injections, and the synthetic life forms that are being rained down on us with geoengineering. The entire genome of humanity is being altered, and that's even more scary than geoengineering, which is beyond terrifying. But the social engineering that's being used to induce a state of permanent trauma, and I know that the people who are interested in neurological functioning will resonate with this. The state of permanent trauma that's being induced by the kinds of entertainment that children are taught to think of as acceptable and parents are taught to think of as acceptable, by the video games in which killing becomes an emotionless, repetitive activity, by the distancing that people are learning to accept as normal through communicating with cell phones instead of interactions and Facebook instead of faces. All of these things are creating permanently traumatized people who can be put into one state or another, and state-dependent learning and state-dependent behavior can be elicited by conditioned responses. This is very, very serious and pretty close to ubiquitous at this point. The other thing that's happening is that there are almost no normal children left. The new normal is lightly autistic, and it's going to get significantly worse. As we've heard, between glyphosate and vaccines, we can expect one half of all children to be autistic within 10 years without changing the categorization process, the diagnostic process. We're letting that happen.
You know what it sounds like to me, Dr. Raymer? It sounds like a whole bunch of eugenicist people said, oh, well, everybody's going to be inferior to a race of supermen. And they figured out that didn't work because they all started to inbreed and got born retarded. So they go, hey, you know what a better idea is? Make everybody else really, really low down, and then we'll be supermen by comparison.
I entirely buy that.
And then we can call it Agenda 21. Hey ho.
You know, I see the effects of the GMOs, the pharmaceuticals, the vaccinations on people in my daily world. I call them zombies. You know, we see these movies and scary TV shows where I never watch them, but they're there. People like them. Zombie apocalypse, right? Well, it's not this fictional or fictitious future event. Zombie apocalypse is here now. And these are the people we here at UnitedWeStrike.com are trying to reach so that they can start healing themselves, healing their children, so that they can be healthy and survive this new world order onslaught. And it is deliberate, like you both suggest, that this is being done.
Well, as debilitating as alcohol is, and for so long having the illegalization of marijuana, it kind of makes sense also in answer to your question, Vinny, that, you know, cannabis has this protective mechanism with the oils that some people believe even like with can help with sun as a sunscreen, even taking it internally. But the whole endocannabinoid system is a protective mechanism for our immune system, and it even ties in with chocolate, because the anandamide in chocolate is an endocannabinoid, and we do have them all throughout our body. It's part of our immune system. So it would be like saying everyone is illegal just by having their right thumb there or their whole body, because it's part of the system. And it's in, so these cannabinoids are in other foods like chocolate.
I fail to see why everybody's so sure that they wouldn't make being human and normal like us illegal. I mean, we're not dealing with the sanest crayons in the box, are we?
No. You know, emotional constipation leads to psychological retardation.
We cannot have emotions. To be able to treat people, a human race, as if we were cockroaches, you cannot have emotion, because emotion would dictate that you couldn't do that. So they have no empathy, therefore they have the psychological aberrations.
Exactly. Yeah, we did a picture on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You know, National Geographic, the yellow magazine there? We changed it into National Geoengineer and had a big C-130 chemtrailing a whole bunch of people stuck in their cars in traffic. And if you look real closely into the cars, you see that they're all being driven by cockroaches.
There you go. There you go.
Nice. Nice. I just put a fairly important link on the chat about a man named Adam Kessler who is facing 20 years in prison. His two-year-old daughter has a rare stage 4 neuroblastoma, which is a brain tumor that's pretty awful. It's it's apparently metastasized to the abdomen, and she's in pretty severe pain. So he gave her cannabis oil in an attempt to, dare I say it, C-U-R-E, don't use that word, to deal with her cancer. And the U.S. government is legalizing and opening to cannabis, but the Australian government hasn't quite gotten around to that. So he was recently arrested for, quote, allegedly administering medicinal cannabis oil to his two-year-old daughter. He's also been charged with possession of a dangerous drug. That comes with a 20-year jail sentence should he be found guilty. Now, her doctors can give her unsubstantiated poisons, which have very, very little likelihood of doing anything other than making them wealthy and her very sick and possibly killing her. And if she does survive, making sure that it's very likely that within 10 years she'll have another unrelated cancer. And she may, of course, be infertile and she may not survive. Well, at the same time, and we all know, by the way, about the quality of life of people who receive these horrible poisons. This guy is trying to help his child, parental rights here. This guy is facing 20 years in prison. The insanity is beyond comprehension. Insanity is beyond comprehension. And we have to confront the insanity, not just on the marijuana issue or the CBD issue. We have to confront it at the human rights and the health freedom issue. Because all of these things that we're dealing with, one issue, another an issue, they all converge on the basic issue, which is who owns my body.
You know, I'm not sure if the insanity is beyond comprehension. I'm sure if you got driven completely insane by looking into it and trying to understand it, then it'd be comprehensible.
I'm right, not sure.
Exactly. Well, I comprehend the insanity.
As an expert in sanity and insanity,
oh my God! Everybody's been asking for generations. Who's the expert on what's insane and what's sane?
Well, Dr. Rima is a psychologist, though. Doctor, you are a psychiatrist. There you go. So you understand these things.
I understand the amazing ability of people to wreak harm on others by imposing their will and removing other people's freedom. I understand that. And that's why 10 years ago, General Burt and I closed our practice of drug-free medicine, created the Natural Solutions Foundation, and decided to take this on head on because we're pretty good at tactics and we're pretty good at strategy planning, and our side tends to be tactical in its response and rarely strategic. And you don't win battles, especially against well-armed and well-equipped enemies, and these are enemies, you don't win battles on a tactical level. Ever.
You should know very well how to, you should know very well how to apply strategic, tactics because tell our audience who your husband is.
My husband is U.S. Army retired Major General Albert N. Stubblebine III. In his last
just
command,
rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I've said it quite a number of times, so it's sort of ingrained there. In his last command in the U.S. Army, He was the head of the U.S. Army Strategic Intelligence System around the world. He was responsible for all of the Army's strategic intelligence. He is a brilliant strategist. And somewhere along the way, he met me. And he, well, which, by the way, is 24 years ago, I quite literally leaped into his arms. He was a total stranger in an airport. I had no idea why I was doing that. He kissed me. He had no idea why he was doing that. And then we went home and got divorces. Very interesting story. Anyway,
it sounds like a night in Vegas.
So we think that somebody on the cosmic level said, you want to see something funny? Watch this. And they pushed us together. But anyhow, the point is that he is a man who was given enormous responsibility and trained in the Army to interpret intelligence and use it in a forward-looking strategic way. And he's a visionary. He's also a healer. He's also a very, very powerful psychic as well. He's quite an interesting dude, but he is a brilliant strategist, and our side needs not just awareness, it needs strategy, because we are being corralled, and we are being transhumanized, and we are being assaulted and depopulated through by means and by people who have brilliant long-term strategies. And if we just race around flapping our hands and saying, ooh, ooh, bad thing just happened, we've already lost the battle. It's like we have to go for their Achilles heels. And the people who say, well, you know, we have to understand they're human. Of course they're human, but they've given away a large part of their humanity by choosing to be psychopaths and by choosing to engineer our subjugation and our demise. Their plans, let's be clear about this, people, their plans are for 90% of us to be dead and the remaining 10% to be compressed into their transit villages and live as their technicians and servants, i.e., their slaves. At that point, we don't have any choices anymore. And
it'll
if
be
we
like
only
everywhere is queens.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think that this issue of finding strategic methods to pierce them at their Achilles heels is really our only survival option.
I think you're right.
I had a strategy. I had a strategy called the tactic of the cactus, and it's based upon the principle that a cactus protects itself from anything that might eat it by covering itself in spines from every direction. And the way this works in terms of the truth movement, activism in general, we all know that there's thousands of fronts upon which scumbaggery is being committed upon individual nations in very reckless ways. But usually for every element of that kind of scumbaggery, there's one person who's been hurt by it but not destroyed, and who fights back and fights back so well that they actually manage to push back, and they're acting in part in their own little way as a spine on that cactus. And it's my belief that this is happening globally, and that humanity would have been washed away long before, as we're happening to just act like a global cactus. All of us are our spines protecting the world.
You know, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I also think that it's one model, and we need more than one model. For instance, if we are each individual spines, we make it harder. They can put on gloves. But if we are more like porcupines, flinging our spines at them in large numbers, we're creating pushback, and then they do step back every single time. I think both of these models are correct. In Washington State, in Oregon, bills to take away virtually every exemption were just smashed into the ground by the public uproar. The pushback was so phenomenal that both bills were abandoned. That's really important. That's not just one spine. That's a lot of flinging spines.
We need attack cactuses, and, and that's what's going on. That's what happened here
attack
in Oregon.
Attack cactuses. I love it.
You're right, because there was a bill introduced in our Oregon legislature to remove the philosophical exemption from vaccinations for children. And the idea being is that you put my child at risk if your child is not vaccinated. But that doesn't make sense, because if your child is vaccinated and you believe your child is now immune, you should not be afraid of my child. Well, anyway, a lot of medical professionals and parents went to testify at an open house. And then the next meeting was supposed to be this past Monday. And the sponsor of the bill, a medical industry insider, I think she's a doctor, heard that Dr. Andrew Wakefield from England, who proved the case that the MMR vaccine is related to autism and digestive healing is the way to relieve that, was going to testify at this meeting at the invitation of Oregon Chiropractic Association. And then she canceled that and then tabled the bill. So we are winning. We are being attack cactuses. And I see all of you as being that way. You know, we do our part trying to alert our fellow human beings through these radio shows and through our personal interactions. And we have to do that. And I hope we inspire people around the world listening to this program. You may not be listening live. You may be listening to one of our podcasts. But, you know, think about what you're hearing today. These people are out there. Everyone on this panel is out there on an almost daily basis getting the word out, truth out, so that you can make better decisions, so that we cannot be treated like cockroaches. And, you know, to me, man's greatest desire after food, shelter, and clothing is freedom. The idea that he can rule his own or her world, and be sovereign entities without a ruler, I think is man's greatest yearning. And I think we need to help inspire that in all of our listeners and the people we come into contact with. Plant seeds of knowledge, plant seeds of hope, plant seeds of spirituality, help people grow, water those seeds, so someday that they will germinate and blossom, and that one seed you planted today might blossom into someone who can touch millions and millions of people's lives. You never know how that works. But anyway,
this reminds me of something Dr. Rima told me about the seventh man, that statistically it takes seven different people to tell you the same thing before you'll abandon a tightly held previous belief. Yes. And that means that you can't convince anyone, but you can play your part and just say one thing here or there to people and just hope that one day they meet their seventh man and wake up.
At the same time, it means that 7, 70, 700, 7,000, 7 million of us have to be telling each other and everybody else how to act. I don't mean how to comport yourself. I mean how to take action to create pushback. For example, when you go to tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation, you can take action and tell your legislators and the decision makers, no, we will not accept the mandated vaccines for adults or children. When you know that vaccine mandates are coming, that's great. When you take action against vaccine mandates, that's fantastic. When you take action and share the fact that that action can, must, and should be taken with other people, you become part of the 7,000 brigade. You become an attack cactus, and you become a propagator of this freedom. It's called, in the principles of war, it's called mass. And, you know, there are two kinds of mass in a social justice war, which is what we're involved in. One is financial mass. The other side has all the money. The other is the numbers, the mass of people who take action. It's not enough to be spiritually developed. It's not enough to be aware. You have to, at this point, when we're facing cataclysmic assaults, you have to, I believe, also be spiritually advanced enough and situationally aware enough to actually take action and mobilize others. And that is the key, I believe. That is the fundamental reality. It's not enough to just be aware, because you're going to be an aware slave unless you're topsoil.
You know, I like hearing everyone here, very wise words, you know, and it inspires me, and I hope it inspires others, our audience. I would ask that everyone here at the table tonight to please promote the marathon to your friends, families, neighbors, your mail list. I personally need to do a better job at promoting the marathon. I try on my show, I try on my website, but I could be doing more. So but I ask you all to do that. We need to spread the word. We're under assault. 80 to 90% of us will be eliminated unless we do something. There's more of us people than there are of them. We can, and we are showing that we can, start changing things. You know, I'd never imagined that my local Safeway store here in this little town would have organic food, but now they do carry organic food. And that's because the consumer is demanding it. People like myself will shop only for organic foods, and they have to supply that. We can turn this around by introducing measures to label genetically modified foods. Hawaii did a pretty good job of passing, I think it was this county of Maui that passed a law to stop geoengineering. Is that right, Sky?
Yeah, it's actually in Hawaii, the island of Hawaii as well. Everything got all the GMOs are not passed except for the papaya. That kind of was grandfathered in because of all the GMO papaya growers.
So we have a cactus in Hawaii too. So, you know,
who's typing?
Yeah, we can turn the tide. We can be like Dr. Rima. We can be like Suzanne. We can be like Vinny. All of us individually, we don't have to have our radio shows, but we can be that people, those people that help to bring awareness to others. And people start healing, they start, minds start clearing, they can make better decisions. Go ahead, Vinny.
You said before about, you know, you feel bad about not doing enough, and sometimes I share that. I think maybe at times we all do, but at the end of the day, if you can look at yourself in the mirror and answer honestly, yes, today I didn't do nothing, then you're doing all right.
There you go.
You know, I really like being part of the Attack Cactus Brigade.
I'm still reeling and trying to suppress my laughter of the image I got in my head of somebody throwing a really nasty tiny, you know, those little small cactuses that are like really spiny, and it's like kind of like, it's almost like fluff of needles being thrown at somebody and like getting embedded in Obama's cheek or something, and people like cackling and laughing at him with the cactus in his face from the Attack Cactus crowd.
Works for me. I love the image of the Attack Cactus. And I, as I said, I am a proud member of the Attack Cactus Brigade.
We can have like helicopters and stuff, bro, and like hurl cactuses at these people from above.
I can see cactuses marching across the plains like Schmooze. You probably don't remember Schmooze.
Yeah, Attack Cactus is going to Congress and, you know, sitting on their chairs, and when the congressmen sit down, they'll be impaled by one of those guys. Hey, we've gone over an hour, and this has been a great conversation, but we're going to need to start wrapping it up. So let's go back around the table. This has been a great conversation, by the way, folks. I've learned a lot, and it's so always so enlightening and honoring and humbling to spend time with you all. But let's go around the table, give our closing thoughts, give our websites out, and this will hopefully sustain our motivation till next month. Amrose, and you go first.
Well, thank you. You know, I believe it was Stalin that said, one death, that's a tragedy. A million deaths, that's a statistic. Anybody can quote scriptures, and both the ignorant and the self-serving most often do. Here we have reason, logic. If you sit down and have a rational conversation, people would talk about freedom and democracy and self-choice and dignity, but what's running the ship And this, until this is understood and dismantled, these, in various degrees, this will continue, is the illogical, irrational, and unreasonable aspect of what we call the subconscious, the feelings. Once you can have all the intellectual and technological hardware you want, but what's going to decide? Feelings have only one criterion, only one. The intellect has infinite criterion. They keep rearranging. And that is, I get what I was patterned, conditioned, or programmed to feel I should get. And if I get it, it's good. And if I don't get it, it's bad. And on that basis, you can justify every atrocity that's going on in the world, all the things we've been talking about, because that's not a rational process. We may use the rational mind to answer our feelings, but the feelings are usually based in fear, and it's survival, and survival at that level is, I'm going to control. I'm insecure. I'm going to dominate and control. This is the old Stone Age emotional patterns we still haven't dispersed ourselves of. When you understand that, you can see how the boys in the corporate structure are doing things. You can see exactly why they're doing things, because it's all statistic, because they're detached. And we talk about sociopathy or psychopathy. In other words, you're living more in your rationalizations than you are in the actual world around you. And until that's understood and dismantled, and it has to be dismantled for each and every one of us, so that you can feel more intensely, have greater, more far-ranging feelings, but not be subservient to that. Until that, this nonsense we're all so concerned about is going to go on, and it's self-justifying. Anyway, much more to say, but I thank you all for the chance to share. It's been a great exchange. Really enjoyed it. My website is lifegame.com. And also, as Dean early on in our show mentioned, and he has it more down, if you go to acutone.com, you can see the archive of the GCN broadcast. We just completed part 3 on healthy aging. And love to hear from you. Have any questions or considerations? Thanks, guys. Great to participate.
Thanks a lot, Em. We look forward to having you on every month. And, you know, I hope that there's listeners out there that can benefit from what you say. For me, sometimes I don't think you give enough meat and potatoes. But, you know, hopefully somebody's out there listening that can benefit from you. And we look forward to having you on
every month. I love questions, Matt.
All righty. Dr. Rima Labo, you know, always a pleasure to have you. We are honored that you take the time to spend with us and our audience. Please promote the strike. We did a great job today simulcasting with Micro Effect and Awake Radio at the same time, and across the United We Strike network. So we're growing, and I enjoy that. Your closing thoughts, please.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It is my pleasure. We, in addition to mass, have to go on the offense. That's the attack cactus brigade. We have to create the pushback. And then we can work out the niceties and the details later in terms of how we see various things. We all agree on the fact that we own our bodies and that we are free people, not slaves, yearning for freedom, as you so rightly said. The website, my principal website, is Dr. Rima Truth Reports, DRRIMA truthreports.com. Please sign up for our complimentary newsletter. There's a lot happening, and we keep you well informed. We never sell or compromise that email list, I promise you. Only NSA does that. We are focused on freedom. That's the whole ball of wax. And we have to take the offensive to keep it. There's never been a time in human history when the oligarchs wanted us to be free. That doesn't mean that we don't deserve and can't bring about our own freedom. Of course we can. Each of us is powerful, and each of us is capable of engineering our own freedom. That's the dirty little secret that they don't want us to know. So, again, Dr. Rima, truthreports.com, and you must, please go to tinyurl.com/vaccinationisviolation. Take the actions, communicate with the legislators, tell them don't you dare, and then spread that as widely as you can. My Twitter, which I try to keep up with very actively, is at Dr. Rima Labo, DrRimaLaiBoW. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you for joining us. You know, you were saying something about doing something every day, or maybe that was Vinny, but I try to do this every day, one little thing against the new world order, whether it's read an article that's about vaccinations or how to stay healthy, forward an email to a friend or forward an email to my email list, or schedule an interview with a doctor or someone. You know, I try to do one thing every day against the new world order. So I would encourage you all to do the same. So we can make a difference. Like Dr. Rima, she makes a great impact. She's one person. I don't know. She's a foundation, so she's not on her own. But you know, it shows that we can have an impact. And you know, so consider doing that. Sky Cubby, down there in Hawaii. You know, you're our newest member, but your voice is powerful. Your information is powerful, and I like learning from you. I will have to come to your house someday and get a cooking lesson.
Well, you're welcome here. And yeah, you know what these psychopaths lack in love, they make up for in intellect. And you're right, Dr. Rima. You know, the people need to go on the offensive, and I definitely experienced that with my dad, because they put him on felony charges for a little mushroom cap and a peyote cap and a mushroom stem. They gave him two felonies, even though they dropped the marijuana charges, because the people came together. We got the signatures and we got Proposition 215 passed. And the California voters expressed their they actually got it on the ballot, and they said, hey, you know, this is a law, and they had to abide by it. So they let that go, but they got him on the felony charges. And, you know, it was a slim win, similar to right now, where we've got 52% of the people going for nationwide for legalization. But, you know, at the same time, we need people to keep the peace within themselves. We need people to be overflowing with happiness and joy and balance. And so, at the same time, people need to nourish themselves. They need to take care of themselves, and through healthy living and eating simple whole foods like the Khichdi recipe we gave on the interview today. All of it comes down to simple, simple, simple. And although there are some major movements we can be those attack cactuses for, like vaccinations, there's a whole nother reality that I would encourage, that we need to maintain one way or another. We need to figure out how to get into balance within ourselves, because that dimension of mass, as Dr. Rima talked about, that energizes. That is a reality that is completely separate in some ways from these psychopaths. And by cultivating that peace within yourself, you know, in order for duality to exist, we need to have, you know, light and dark. But that darkness doesn't need to be right in your face, or it doesn't need to be right in your face all the time. So take time to cultivate that sense of love and peace and balance within yourself. Go outside, smile, go to a park or a beautiful place, and enjoy life, and know that they have no control over that, because that is a dimension that exists for you and not for any of these control trippers. So just remember, as bad as it gets, there's always a solution. It is the best of times and the worst of times. Never lose faith. Don't look at these issues so deeply that, Vinny was saying, you become that darkness that you're peering into. Take time to stay in the light and hold it down for the rest of us. And obviously we're seeing it with, you know, all these new studies of relating back to cannabis, how cannabis may grow stem cells with the whole endo or inner cannabinoid system. And, yeah, like we just saw with this new study of, with the new, majority favoring marijuana legalizations. That's the nationwide, you know, authoritative survey, 52%. That's where we were in California 15 years ago. So the plants will win in the end, and you know, these plants choose us to rally us to go ahead and do their bidding, because they've been around a long time before we have. So thanks for having me on. It's great to be a part of the family, and aloha.
How about your website, Sky?
Oh, medicinal-foods.com. Go ahead and get my free book there. And we actually just had a healthy living blog for the last month. You can get healthy habits for the 2015, the benefits and purification of cilantro, reishi superfoods. These are just some of the topics of the healthy living blog, fermented cod liver oil and healing that gut, and a lot more. So check out the blog, healing fibromyalgia, a story on that, and all about cacao as well. So, all right. Take care, guys.
Thanks for coming on with us tonight. Aloha to you. You know, healing the gut, I think, is a real good idea. I'm an advocate of diatomaceous earth, but that's a whole nother issue. Vinny Eastwood, you're listener supported. You live on the edge, because, if your listeners decided that you're barking up the wrong tree, your income goes away. You can't do what you do. So I respect that, being able to gamble your integrity on your income like that. How's your, documentary coming, and any closing words on your websites, please?
Well, I raised $10,000 in the last 90 days to purchase my new camera and new computer. And I've finally got the computer working, and I've just got to learn how to use the new editing program software, which I'm very unfamiliar with, so it's quite frustrating, in order to make the documentary. So, and also the camera has great technical issues as well, but besides that, I do like the idea of the attack cactus, you know, like politicians like running off the stage or something, and the manager goes, "What are you doing down here?" And they go, "The attack cactus attacked us."
See what you started, Vinny? You know, that's going to stick in my mind.
Hey, and if the attack cactus cracks you up, then what? There's nothing wrong with it, is there, bro? And because, you know, obviously, I'm trying to be the little class clown and the funny man of the truth movement here, because there aren't a lot of laughs these days, unless you just make them up out of thin air. Like terrible jokes, for instance. Do you know why the government had to close a lot of their public schools? Because they don't have principals.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, just, you know, a little bit of a wry joke never goes astray. But if you tell too many, people will want you to go away. That's all I have to say about that. But anyway, I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, and also check out my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, or just search Vinny Eastwood on YouTube. There's two there. There's a backup one, and I have nearly 20,000 YouTube subscribers, which is more than the largest mainstream media outlet on YouTube here, the New Zealand Herald TV. So that makes me New Zealand's number one online YouTube news source. Thank you very much. And the reason why I've been able to do all this, of course, is with people's generous donations and support. And the reason why they've been giving me all these generous donations and support is not because I'm about to do something for them. It's because it's things that I've already done, including 3,000 videos with the widest range of topics, interviews, protests, public meetings that you could really ever find anywhere, including larger than the New Zealand archives, which don't have any of this kind of stuff, because ultimately, strangely enough for people, it is not a priority to attend public meetings and see what is happening in their community. And so I decided that it was a good idea to record those things and make it easily accessible for people who do want to know what goes on but can't make it to that particular meeting, and then it's done and gone forever. So as long as the people who are fighting for truth, justice, liberty, all those nice things get recorded, hopefully they will not be forgotten, and neither will their sacrifice.
Nice. Excellent, indeed. Vinny.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Vinny, for joining us. Good luck in your endeavors. You know, if people didn't believe in you, they wouldn't support you. So you're doing a good job. I can only expect that your reach will grow over the next coming years. So it'll be a pleasure watching that career development. So thanks a lot for being here. Suzanne Posel, congratulations on the new radio show. Give us your closing thoughts and your website, please.
I am humbled to be in everyone's presence here on the round table, just listening to all of you talk, and the demeanor, the decorum that we show each other, the laughs that we have with each other. It's the thing that I look forward to. I always mark my calendar and I get really excited because I'm going to spend my Saturday evening with you guys. So thank you very much. My website is OccupyCorporatism.com. If you're interested in facts and evidence, please visit OccupyCorporatism.com. If you're not, then please visit OccupyCorporatism.com. You might find that you have a new interest. I also have a radio show on American Freedom Radio. It is Hardline on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 p.m. Central. And if you listen on Wednesday and Friday to my show, then stay tuned for Vinny's show because my show comes on just before his. And again, thank you, everyone, for having me here tonight. And have a good weekend.
Always a pleasure to have you on with us, Suzanne. You know, it, like you say, it is very humbling to be among such intellectual people who I can learn from. And it inspires me. Sometimes, you know, it's difficult to continue the fight, to continue trying to do what's right in the face of such adversities. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. You guys face the wrath of the New World Order on an individual basis, technically or otherwise. You know, they find their ways of messing with us. But
we're not just intellectuals. We're actually intelligent.
Indeed. Indeed. You know,
which makes us intellectuals.
Well, you know, you can have a high IQ, but that only measures so much of your intelligence because it's an academic measurement that is confined to a certain parameter. But how do you measure intelligence on the scale where you are aware of the New World Order, you're aware of vaccinations, you're aware of GMO foods, you're aware of geoengineering? How do you measure that kind of intelligence? I don't think there's a scale.
I think by the number of people who no longer speak to you.
how long is a piece of string?
You know, well, and so that's the kind of people we draw here, and it's always a pleasure to spend time with all of you. My name is Matt Navarro. I've been here with United We Strike for the whole 7 years of our existence. We owe a lot to our foundress Karen Tostado, who is pursuing other things. You know, she put her time in, and she's planted the seed, and the seed has blossomed into this ongoing radio broadcast, a marathon that we have here every month. You know, and we try to bring you great information. We try to educate you. We try to unite you. We have a little saying: don't buy, don't comply, ask why. Don't buy into their lies, don't comply with forced vaccination, ask why they want to vaccinate you in the first place. My show is on the Wolf Spirit Radio the first Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Pacific time. My guest next month will be Keith Mueller. Sky, Keith Mueller's company, what is that name of his company? What is the website?
American Biotech Laboratories. They make nanosilver, and they do a wonderful job of it. Keith is a great guy. He's got a PhD. He's a naturopath. He's one smart cookie, and he does a great job in his family business of manufacturing nanosilver that you can bet your life on.
There you go. You just heard he's going to be on my show next
the first Saturday of next month, which is the 4th, I believe, of April. And we'll be back here on UnitedWeStrike.com the second Saturday of April with all of these great folks. I appreciate you all tuning in. Oh, my website, nwodor.com, nwodor.com. Click on on the homepage. There's a interview I did with Dr. Jack Wolfson, an integrative cardiologist from Arizona. Great interview. One of the best interviews I've ever done with someone. Hey, we need to mute there, some guy. And listen to that show. It was one good interview with a doctor who's willing to speak out, just like Dr. Rima. He is an attack cactus. That said, please listen in next month, folks. And join us all again on this radio marathon. It is always a pleasure to speak with all of you, and hopefully you tune in. Until next month, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Death to the world order!
Hey, for the hearing impaired, it's death to the new world order. There's no excuse for it.
Thanks, guys.
United we strike.
UNITEDWE.
Strike.
UNITEDWE.
Strike.
I'm alright with United we strike. Stand in line with United we strike. Join the fight with United we strike. We need the millions of working class heroes who've had enough of being less than zero. All together, right with United.
Strengths or weaknesses. Now I'm telling you otherwise. Your impulse. as a gift. Impulses are your key to the miraculous. Your distractibility is an artifact of your inspired creativity. Your mood swings reflect the natural pulse of life. They give you unstoppable energy when you're high, deep soulful insight when you're low. Been diagnosed with a disorder? That's society's latest way to deny its own illness by pointing the finger at you. Your addictive personality is just a symptom of your vast, underused capacity for heroic creative expression and spiritual connection. Your utter lack of repression, your wide-eyed idealism, your unmitigated open mind. Didn't anyone ever tell you? These are the traits shared by the greatest pioneers and visionaries, innovators, revolutionaries, procrastinators, and drama queens, activists on the social scene, space cadets, and mavericks, philosophers, and derelicts, business suits flying fighter jets, football stars and sex addicts, celebrities with ADD, alcoholics, and JJJ, we are the same, you know, cause we're all affected by the way. We are the same, you know, cause we're all attracted to the flame. You know in your heart there's a natural order, something more sovereign than any man-made rule. Eternal substrate of the cosmos. It guides the very current of time and space. The way is known by some as the will of God, divine providence, the Holy Spirit, the implicate order, the Tao, reverse entropy, life force. But for now, we'll simply call it the way. The way is reflected in you as the source of your inspiration, the source of your passions, your wisdom, your enthusiasm, your intuition, your spiritual fire, love. The way takes the chaos out of the universe and breathes life into it, giving it divine order. The way, when expressed by the mind, is genius. When perceived through the eyes, is beauty. When felt through the senses, is grace. When allowed into the heart, is love. Of the flame. Wayseers have an unexplainable knack for just knowing the way. They sense it in their very being. They can't tell you why or how they arrived at the right answer. They just know it in their core. They can't show their work, so don't ask. Their minds simply resonate with the way. When the way is present, so are they. Are blind to it, and society begs you to ignore it. The way stirs you inside. Neurological repression blocks most people's awareness of the way. Censoring all thoughts and impulses from the unconscious is their prefrontal cortex, the Gestapo of the brain. Nothing which violates its socialized programming even gets through. But your mind is different. Your mind has been cracked wide open to the way. By some miraculous genetic trait, some psychotropic chemical, or maybe even by the will of your own soul, your brain's reward pathways have been hijacked. Dopamine employed to overthrow the fascist dictatorship of your prefrontal cortex. Now your brain is free of repression, your mind free of censorship, your awareness exposed to the turbulent seas of the unconscious. Through this open doorway, divine light shines into your consciousness, showing you the way. This is what makes you a wayseer. 90% of human civilization is populated with those whose brains are blocked to the way. Their brains are hardwired to enforce the social programming indoctrinated since birth. Unlike you, they cannot break out of this programming because they have not yet experienced the necessary revolution of mind. These program people take social institutions and rules very seriously. Society is full of games programmed to keep people's minds occupied so they will not revolt. These games often cause sick fixations on peculiar protocols, power structures, taboos, and domination. All subtle forms of human bondage. This distinct form of madness is not only tolerated by the masses, but insisted upon. The programmed ones believe in rules so forcefully, they become willing to destroy anyone who violates them. Wayseers are the ones who call their bluff. Since wayseer minds are free to reject social programming, wayseers readily see these social institutions for what they are, imaginary games. Wayseers comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Helping those who are lost in these games and refuse to help themselves is the calling of many wayseers. Since wayseers are the ones who keep contact with the original source of reality, they are able to disrupt societal conventions and even governments to realign humanity with the way. The wayseers are an ancient lineage, a kind of priesthood, carriers of the flame, ones in the know. There must always be wayseers to reform the dizzying psychotic spinning wheels of society. Giant mindless hamster wheels obscuring the pure blue sky. Calling, Wayseer. You found your tribe. Welcome home.